Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Kemp, and I'm coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area of California. I hope you're all having a pleasant week this week. These Mondays are busy. I was at a store today, and a guy told me, he said, I don't like Mondays. See, we're such a, like, we're such a week-oriented society, you know, that Monday is like dreaded because the weekend is when we're off work. Personally, I work almost every day of the week, and Monday is the same as any other day to me for the most part, except that I have my radio show on Monday nights, and I just can't wait. I get real excited. Today is November the 26th. Today is a Seven of Hearts and a Nine of Clubs day. It's an interesting day because it's one of the few days that is has both of the spiritual numbers as the cards. The two spiritual numbers are seven and nine. And so today is a Seven of Hearts with a Nine of Clubs. Now, people born today are have a lot of relationship stuff going on. I mean, one famous person that was born today was Tina Turner, is Tina Turner. Also actor Robert Goulet. But what's interesting about this card is a combination. So you got the Seven of Hearts, which is a card that of a lot of power. And people who are Seven of Hearts always attract powerful partners to do battle with. So just imagine Tina Turner and Ike Turner, and you get an idea of what that's like. So, you know, you may not even know some of the people born today that well, but if you got to know their life a little bit more carefully, or any Seven of Hearts for that matter, like Bill Gates is a Seven of Hearts, you would know that in their personal life, it's really about who's got the power, and there's almost a struggle going on all the time because they're here to learn the lesson of unconditional love. Seven of Hearts are here to learn unconditional love. And that's because they have learned in the past lives to be very controlling and very power-oriented in love out of a fear, and that fear that causes them to be so controlling is the fear of betrayal, or the fear of abandonment, or the fear of being left. So you have that issue going on for Seven of Hearts people. And then this birthday also has a Nine of Clubs, which has a whole nother just incredible array of relationship issues. Nine of Clubs is, I call it the sexiest card in the deck. It has a very strong sexual nature and a love of romance. People who are Nine of Clubs and who are married, if they're not really getting contentment in their love life, they will seek it outside the relationship. They will seek it outside the relationship because they want that love is really important to them, that sense of an eternal romantic sexual love. And it's not marriage that they're looking for. It's that love and sex. Okay, so you have, in this birthday, you have both. And you have a Sagittarian also, like Tina Turner is a Sagittarian. And when you're a Sagittarian, it's a fire sign, and it's an early degree fire sign. In other words, it's early in the fire signs. Because the Sagittarian time started just a few days ago. So people born in this first week of Sagittarius, they're the early degrees. And early degrees are way more intense. And the way they are, the way they display that energy of their sign, than people born later in the sign. So you have a really intense Sagittarius person born today who has a lot of relationship, a lot of sexual and power issues going on in their love life. So it makes for an interesting combination, A person that is, like women with this would be highly sexual and have a history of some challenges in love of, you know, various assortments. So that is today. So is everybody keeping up on the news? Do you watch the news? I know it's mostly bad news, but, you know, you can see that the main thing in our country right now, I think, is the housing situation. You have right here where I live in Contra Costa County, they said there's been almost 3,000 foreclosures in the last year or so. That's a lot. It's not a huge county. It's not a huge area. And they're saying now that these foreclosures are affecting everybody, not just the people in those areas, but people in every area. In every area, okay? So it's very interesting. And now the stock market is really starting to feel it. The stock market has been kind of holding its own, kind of staying up there and going down and going back up and going down again. But I really think we're going to start to see this really start to sink in, and we'll probably see the Federal Reserve Bank come in and try to help out by lowering rates. So we should see rates go down soon. And while that's all, while all this is happening, at the same time, the dollar is losing its value. It's very interesting. I'm a diamond, so I'm always into the economics of things. So this is all this kind of news that I find very interesting. The dollar goes down. Anything that you own in a foreign country now, the value goes up because the dollar is going down. So, like, if you own property in a foreign country, it will be worth more dollars now than it was before. Likewise, if you go to a foreign country now, it's going to cost you more on a vacation to spend. It's going to cost you more. Canada now, the dollar and the Canadian dollar are equal. They used to be 2-to-1. It used to be two Canadian dollars for American dollar. Now they're equal, which is really hard. If you actually work in Canada or get income from Canada, your money, your income is worth a lot less than it used to be. So very interesting turn of events here happening in the world. And, you know, we are still so based on the whole oil system that I read a really interesting article today about how our country, it's from a book, actually. Let's see, I wonder if I can find the name of the book here because I was just reading. It was excerpts from this book. It's called Energy Victory by a guy named Robert Zubrin, Z-U-B-R-I-N. And this guy's an engineer. He's actually just a scientist. That's all that he is. But he's really, really analyzed the entire situation in the world. The guy's also been a major inventor and made a lot of contributions to the world in his work. But he basically says that the entire terrorist organization has been built completely on dollars made by Saudi Arabia on oil. And they said, like, in the last year, the Saudis made over $200 billion in earnings on their oil. And they say that this is the money that's funding all the terrorism. There was no terrorism, he said before. So it's very interesting. And he says if we could cut our dependence on oil, it would completely pull the rug out from under all the terrorism. But we are so in bed with all the oil, and the whole thing is all about oil. All these conflicts on them, it's all about oil. Who's got the oil? It reminds me a lot of a book I read when I was younger, which I really loved. It's called Dune by Frank Herbert, which they made a movie out of. And this movie, the Dune series is this guy, Frank Herbert, I never met him or anything, but he's obviously got an incredible mind, because he basically dreamed up an entire world with his own cultures, and it's just a fascinating book to read. But basically, it's all about this one world in the whole galaxy area, wherever they are, that produces this one thing that they can't get anywhere else called spice. And the spice is extremely important because it somehow allows their ships it's responsible for all the commerce. Without spice, they would not be able to do what they call fold space, and they would not be able to really have commerce between all the different nations. So everybody wants the spice, and it's a huge battle for who's going to get the spice and so forth. And that's just a brief thing, but it's very much like our oil today, very much, because everybody needs the oil. Well, if we can get off of oil, we can be completely free from that. And his solution, I really shouldn't say what it is. It's not really, you have to read the whole book, but it's really about using some substitute for oil, is what he's saying. Very interesting. So here we are. I failed to announce that the show is going to start early on my email blast today, so people probably may not be showing up until 7:30. I'm going to read a story from the Mahabharata, and after that, I have something really, I think you'll find very interesting about the day, your personal experience of when people come into your life. I have an old book here that I've had for a while. I used to go to the Bodhi Tree bookstore in Los Angeles and just scour. They have a used bookstore in the back, and there's all manner of old books back there. And I just have always loved really old books. And I found this book when I was there once. I paid $1.25 for it. I can't even tell. It doesn't even say when it was published, but it looks to be like it was maybe back in the 20s or 30s. And perhaps, I mean, it's possible it's even older. And it's called My Personal Guide. And it's about what happens. It has many things, actually. But one of the things that it has that's very interesting, and I'm going to share with you, everybody, tonight, is when somebody of a certain sun sign comes into our life, there's a message. They don't just show up by accident. So if somebody who was a Cancer or a Libra or an Aries or a Taurus or whatever, say, show up, it's like what the message is, okay? There's a message from each person coming to you, and I'll explain and I'll read what each of those are. And if you want to take notes tonight, you might find this very, very helpful. I found it to be very true. It is so true. It's amazingly true, okay? So we're going to have this a little bit later. So just to start out with, I'm going to talk a little bit about the story so far for those of you who have been following along. And basically, I'm going to kind of deviate into another story that begins here in this book of another character who is basically my favorite character in the whole book. But basically what's happened so far is that this king named Shantanu married this beautiful maiden named Ganga, who was actually the river Ganga incarnated on the earth. And they had 9 sons, but 8 sons she threw into the river and just killed them. But she told him beforehand that if you cross me in any way, I'm going to have to leave you. So he didn't say anything to her, but it was killing him inside, not knowing and not understanding, and he just couldn't take it anymore. On the 9th son, he stopped her, said, "You can't do this anymore." Said, "Well, I have to go now, but this is why I did this." And she explained how they were both incarnated in the heavens before this lifetime, and they had both come down because of something they had did there, and they had to incarnate together and be in love and get married, but it would just be for a short time. And she also explained why she had to kill these 9 children, because they were like heavenly beings who were cursed to take incarnation on the earth, and they asked her if she would make their life very short, and she agreed, and that's why she was fulfilling her promise. So each one of them was an incarnation of one of the, what they call the Vasus. There were 9 Vasus. But the 9th child was cursed even more to live out an entire life on the earth, and he was allowed to live, and he was Shantanu's son, and his name was Gangeya, or Devrata, when he was first born. But as things turned out, Ganga left Shantanu, and he became very despondent until one day he met this woman on the banks of a river. She was a beautiful maiden, and he had to have her. So he went to her father And her father said, yes, you can marry my daughter, but I want her sons to be, her sons have been prophesied to be the kings of the kingdom. So you have to let them be the king of the kingdom. But Shantanu had already given that honor to his son, Devrata. So it was a really hard thing. But anyway, Devrata found out about this. So Shantanu did not marry the woman, but Devrata found out and ran to the woman, and the fisherman, she was a fisherwoman, and her father, and went there and said, I will give up the throne so my father can marry your daughter. And then he said, well, but what happens about your kids? What if they claim the rights to the throne? So finally, Devrata just said, okay, I vow to be celibate my entire life. I will never marry, and I will not have any offspring. And then flowers rained down from the heavens, and the word Bhishma was spoken in the heavens, which means terrible vow. So it was considered, in those days, life was considered that everyone should have their full measure of pleasure as part of life. I mean, of course, you can be a renunciate. You can be a rishi or a sage or, you know, a devotee, and you can give up that. But normal people, especially people in the class that these people were, which was the warrior class, they were meant to have a full life with a full measure of pleasure. So here, young Devrata, gave that up just for the love of his father without even hesitating. And he uttered those words, and he was blessed by the heavens. But even more so, his father came to him and said to him, "Okay, this is kind of terrible that you did this, but I'm going to give you a special gift." And King Shantanu gathered up all of his spiritual power that he had gained over lifetimes, and used it all to give his son this one gift. And the one gift was that young Devrata could never be killed and could never even die until he gave permission. So death could not approach him without asking him first and without his permission. So that's how Bhishma was born, and Bhishma ends up being the grandsire of the entire kingdom. He never is able to actually marry or have children. But he ends up overseeing the kingdom, because there's all kinds of trouble getting a king to sit on the throne, and young kings died, and so forth and so on. And no matter what he did, I mean, things went on and life went on, but basically he managed the throne for years and years and years, until finally there were some young princes and kings that could take it on themselves. So this is basically how the Mahabharata starts. And what happens is, I'll just give you sort of an overview, is that out of Bhishma and his rulership, there ends up being two brothers who both have sons. And one brother has sons that are wicked and evil, and the other son has sons that are all like divine beings, sort of. They were like, you know, they call them devas. And these two different parties, which was the good and the evil, basically, ended up vying for the throne. And this is the conflict that's set up early on in the story, which goes throughout the entire book and then culminates in a huge battle, a huge war that's fought. And this happened 5,000 years ago, this war. And I want to tell you a bit more. I'm going to tell you more about it in future episodes and so forth. But that's basically what happens. And this is the story of all of these characters. Very, very interesting. So I'm going to tell you a short story now about the birth of one of the major characters in this story, and just to give you an idea of how this story is written. So there's a king, and his name is, his name was called Kunti Bhoja. And he had a daughter, a beautiful princess, her name was Pritha, but she was also given the name Kunti because she was Kunti's daughter. And she was a really beautiful girl, and she was a princess. So she was of royalty, and when the time came for her to marry, she would marry a prince or something like this. So once upon a time during this her time, this sage named Durvasa came to visit Kunti Bhoja's capital city. Now, you got to understand about sages back then, these Brahmins. The nature of the Brahmin class is to have a very quick temper. One of the qualities of Brahmins is that they can't really handle any pain. I mean, actually, this is very interesting because you can actually determine what your class is astrologically, which one of the four castes that you are. And we're usually a mixture of a couple of classes. And those classes are the Brahmins, and then the warriors, and then the merchants, and then the servants. And you might have planets that are connected to several of those, but everybody is basically one or two of these mostly. So the Brahmin class is the priestly class. And their outstanding characteristics were that they couldn't stand any pain at all, and they had a very, very quick temper, get really angry very quickly. And back then, these sages, these Brahmins, had accumulated so much spiritual power that if they said something, it always came true. Their words could never be retracted. So if they got really angry and they cursed somebody, which happened frequently, it happened a lot in this story, that curse is going to happen and nothing could change it. Nothing can change it. Sometimes there were cases where they could modify the curse. They could say, well, it's going to happen, but this will be an alleviating thing. But basically, their words had such power because they never spoke an untruth. And because they practiced spiritual austerities for years and years. These are men that, you know, they were celibate. They didn't even own a possession. All they owned was a loincloth and a little water pot. And they lived off the alms by begging, but they were the most powerful people in this entire story, which is really interesting because we have great warriors and so forth, but the Brahmins would cause things to happen without ever having to lift a finger, ever having to fight anything. They were the most powerful. So when a great Brahmin would come to visit, it was considered an honor, but it was also considered a great danger because if you did something to accidentally, it would actually make him angry. He might curse you, even no matter who you are, king. It didn't matter who you were. You could be the greatest king, the biggest king, the most powerful person on the earth. But if a sage got mad at you and cursed you, that was it. That curse is going to happen. So, when the sage Durvasa came to the capital, it turned out that he was famous all over the world for the power of his penance. And also for his temper. He had a great temper. He was one of the sages that got really angry very quickly over very small matters. So he wanted to spend a few days in the capital city. But his father, Kunti's father, Kunti Bhoja, the king, you know, he knew that Kunti was a really pure child. So he assigned her take care of the needs and wants of the sage during his stay. Entrusted with such a difficult task, Kunti conducted herself admirably. Indeed, the sage was so pleased with her that he wanted to grant her a boon. So he was actually there for, I think, I don't know the exact time, but it seemed like it was like maybe a month and a half. And he tested her, you know, he tested her by doing things that would normally make somebody else angry. And she responded with perfect humility and an attitude of service. And when he was done, when he was ready to go, he pulled her aside and said, I have a gift for you. So he summoned her to his presence and he told her that he would teach her a certain mantra, a special incantation. And if she recited it, any of the devas, these celestial beings, whom she would think of in that moment, would come to her. Out of the heavens, they would just come right down. She received this gift, with humility, and then Durvasa left. But there was actually a little bit more to it than that. She didn't understand because she was a young child, but what she didn't really realize was that if she called upon one of these celestial beings and this being came down, she would have to have a child with this celestial being. And she didn't really get that when he told her. She didn't. The child, it says here, she was hardly a girl, did not understand what Durvasa meant when he said a deva whom she invoked would come to her. She was as excited as a child with a new toy. It was early in the morning. Through the eastern window, she could see the sun just rising. The east was drenched in the color of liquid gold. The waters of the river were lapping against the walls of the palace. It was an unforgettable scene of countless beauty. The sun and his soft beams, which had the coolness of the dawn, and the beautiful river with her path glowing with the red and gold of the rising sun. The scene touched the heart of the young child. She lost herself in the beauty of it. The sun looked so gorgeous. Kunti thought about how wonderful it would be if the sun could be there by her side. In a flash, she remembered the incantation which the great sage Durvasa had told her. Why, if she recited it, the sun would come to her. Yes, that's what he said. He would come to her. The poor child, in blissful ignorance, held her palms together, palms which looked like a lotus bud, and invoked the sun with the incantation she had learned. She opened her eyes, and a miracle was happening. Along the watery path of the river, the sun's rays traveled fast. She was blinded by a sudden brilliance. All of a sudden, she looked up, and there was this radiant being standing in front of her. The sun stood there by her side. He was looking at her with a smile of teasing amusement. Kunti was now extremely pleased with the success of her mantra. She smiled a sweet, happy smile. She clapped her hands together in excitement and said, "Sage Durvasa said it would work. I stood looking at you rising in the east. The scene was so beautiful, and you were so beautiful that I wanted you to come here. So I recited the incantation which had been taught me by the sage. You have come. How wonderful." The sun was still smiling on her. He said, "Now that I have come, what do you want me to do?" "Why, nothing," said Kunti. "I just thought of you and imagined how wonderful it would be if you were beside me. That's all." "That is not all," said the sun god. "It is evident that you did not find any meaning in the words of the sage when he taught you the incantation. He said that any god whom you invoked would come to you. Is that not so?" "Yes," said Kunti, not following his words at all. "Can you not see," said the god, "that it means that the god will embrace you and give you a son as beautiful as the god whom you have summoned?" Kunti was bewildered. She did not know what to do or what to say. "I did not know that. I had no idea that words meant that. Please forgive me this childishness. Please go away and save me from shame." "But that is impossible," said the sun. "Once I am summoned by you, I cannot go back until I take you. You must have me. You cannot escape the power of the incantation, which you have used unthinkingly." Kunti was beside herself with grief. "I am a young girl," she said. "I am unmarried. What will the world say? What will my father say? It will break his heart if he comes to know that his daughter is not a virgin anymore. Can you not go away?" The sun was charmed by her winning ways. He loved this woman who was hardly a girl. He smiled at her and won her heart with his sweet words and his reassuring smile. He said, "Do not be so frightened, my child. After this child is born, you will again become a virgin, as you are now. No one will know of this incident." The young girl was won over by his words and by his beauty. She accepted him without any fear of the consequence. Now, the son did not actually have physical sex with her. He just used his mind and put his energy into her. And she fell down the bed in a swoon, like an orgasmic swoon, but it was just the energy of him going into her. Now the son was ready to depart. He said, "Your son will be born with a kavacha and a kundala, which are the magical armor and earrings. He will be the image of me. He will be a great archer. In goodness of heart, no one will equal him. He will be famed throughout the world as the greatest of all givers. He will also be the greatest warrior that ever lived. He will never be able to refuse anyone anything, not even if I ask him to forbear from giving. He will be a proud and sensitive man, and his fame will live in the world as long as the sun and moon move in their appointed orbits. With these words, the sun vanished from her sight. In due course, a child was born to Kunti. He was beautiful, glowing like the sun with his golden armor on his chest and his magical earrings in his ears. She did not know what to do with it. Too young to know the joy of motherhood, she was concerned only with the shame of it. She looked out of the window. The river was flowing as placidly as before. Only in the heart of Kunti, a storm was brewing. She made up her mind. Wrapping up the child in a piece of silk, she placed it in a box made of wood and carried it to the banks of the river. She set the box afloat on the river and came back to her apartments. From her window, she saw the box floating away further and further. She felt that her heart was choking inside of her with a great pain, a great unspeakable longing for the poor hopeless child floating on the heart of that mighty river. Tears flowed from her eyes. Lifting her hand in supplication to the sun, she said, "My Lord, I have done a great injustice to this beautiful child born of you and me. Please guard him. Please do not let any evil befall him." She spoke to her disappearing child, "May your path be auspicious. The Lord of the waters will guard you. You will not die. All the gods in the high heavens will guard you. I will see you someday in the distant future. I will recognize you by your armor and your earrings. She will be a fortunate woman who will find you and bring you up as her son. She will see you grow into manhood, and she will be a happy woman. But I am the most unfortunate of all women. I will never have you for a son. God bless you, my child, my firstborn." The young girl became a woman all of a sudden. Gone were the days of happy, carefree childhood. Waking or sleeping, she saw just one thing: a wooden box and a piece of silk wrapped in the silk, a beautiful child with its golden armor and earrings gleaming in the light of the morning sun. So this was the birth of one of the major characters in this story, who was born of the sun god, and he was just incredible. That's all I can say. I will tell you more about him later, about who finds him on the river and how he's grown up. And we will continue our story. Okay, we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the astrological signs of people you meet and what the message is for you when somebody comes into your life of a certain sign. So we're going to play a song right now. And I'd like to play the song Om Namah Shivaya. And when we come back, we will have our personal guide for who's coming into your life. And then we'll have open up the lines for calls. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the show if you haven't been on the last half hour. We are starting now at 7 o'clock, but I forgot to announce it again, so it's my mistake. But what we're going to do right now, before we start having call-ins, and by the way, if you want to get a reading tonight, it would be good to call now and get in line if you want. But I'm going to read a special thing from this very old book called My Personal Guide. And you can't get this book anywhere. I'm absolutely positive. It's by a guy named Ralph Creasy from Chicago, who was an astrologer. I don't even know when this was published because it doesn't have a date in anywhere. But I'm thinking, by looking at this book, I'm thinking probably in the 20s, maybe 30s, possibly. Okay? So what's really cool about this book, and I've never seen it anywhere else, is it talks about when somebody comes into our life who is a certain sun sign, they're bringing a message to us. And he says, I'll just read from the book a little bit what he says here. Everything is timed, nothing is accidental. Every person who greets you on the street or enters your home or place of business conveys to you a distinct planetary message. This applies particularly in regards to people you know. Heed the planet's advice through these messengers. And he says here, this information is not to be interpreted as mysterious phenomena. This data consists of facts which are the results of years of proven experiments. It is extremely valuable in your daily life. Use it to the fullest extent. The members of a household under one roof, or the people who are daily business associates in the same office or shop, are not included in a temporary way, as are the listed individuals who bring you unsolicited planetary messages. It is the voluntary visitor or messenger and not your constant associates who bring these influences into your life. So we're talking about people that aren't ordinarily in your life, but who show up in your life. New acquaintances, new people who happen to show up, people perhaps you've met for the first time. Knowing their birthday, you'll know their West Sun sign, that's all you need to know. There is a right time for every action, and the answer is provided at the right time. Your own individual planets, through their messengers, will point out the action and the right time for it. So, he says here, there will be two messages. There will be a message when a person new comes into your life. There will be two messages. One will be the message of the planet represented by the person, and the other will be the actual message revealed by the messenger's conversation or written word. So this could even be an email from somebody, by the way. Okay? And we break it down by sign. So I'm going to tell you for each of the 12 signs, sorry, I got distracted there and saw the word 7 on my computer screen. For each of the 12 signs, we're going to discuss what the person's coming into your life will mean to you. Okay, and we'll start with the first sign, which is, everybody know what the first sign is? First sign of the zodiac, Aries. Okay, people born from March 20th to April 19th. More or less. There are cusp dates. If you're in doubt about, you know, what exact sign somebody is, never hesitate to go online to astro.com and run a chart, but you'll need a time and place to be sure, okay? To really be sure, you're going to need a time and place somewhere, which may not be available to you, so you have to guess. So basically, March 20th to April 19th is Aries. The actual contact of this person is, in itself, a definite message that the planet Mars is diligently safeguarding the well-being of your physical body through his Aryan messenger. This Aryan decisively answers a temporary personal problem already confronting you or about to be encountered by you within 48 hours, with or without your present knowledge of it. Okay, so there's a double meaning here for Aries people. One is that you have a safeguard, you have an energy guarding your physical body, so this is a good sign for health. Number two, the arrival of an Aries will decisively answer a temporary personal problem already confronting you. or about to be encountered by you within 48 hours, whether you know about it or not. Okay, very interesting. So he has an example here. Suppose you have no accident or sick benefit insurance, and an Aries person approaches you concerning insurance. This is a definite warning that you will need it within the next 6 months. Very interesting. Okay? So that is Aries. Now let's move right along here. He says also, Aries people are bold and courageous. Okay. Okay, now we go to Taurus. This is April 20th to May 19th, more or less. The actual contact with a person of a, who's a Taurus is, in itself, a definite message that the planet Venus is presiding temporarily over the state of your finances. You will and should spend money for your future needs within 24 hours, or money will be invested to your advantage by yourself or another. Increased earning power will come to you through that expense. Property in some form will be involved. The messenger's conversation or written word will reveal an answer to a problem already confronting you or soon to confront you regarding your finances. The actual presence of a Taurus person is to say, go ahead and make safe, you may safely spend. Venus will reimburse you. Use Venus hours for satisfaction. Well, he's got a little thing about the hours here. It's real interesting. I had a Taurus friend born on April 21st, very successful, and his motto was, if money's not coming in well in the business, go out and spend some money on something nice for yourself. Like he would go out and spend $500 on himself, that would always, or on somebody that he loved, and that would always cause his business to pick up. It goes right along with what they're saying here. Okay, now we go on to Gemini, which is May 20th to June 19th. Very interesting. So when a Gemini person comes into your life, and this is either entering your home or place of business, call you on the telephone, email you, write you a letter, whatever, okay, the actual contact with this person is in itself a definite message that the planet Mercury is influencing you in affairs of communications or travel. Number one, you will receive mail within 24 hours and should send some mail. Well, this could be email nowadays. You may take that short trip now. You should attend to your correspondence and demonstrate activity on that mailing list. You should use the telephone immediately for information and sales. You may use to more advantage all the Mercurian things. Okay? Gemini. Moving right along to Cancer, and I'm a Cancer, and I've known this about myself. I've seen that when I show up in people's lives, things change. So basically, June 20th to July 22nd, the contact with a Cancer person is in itself a definite message that you may expect an immediate change. If this visit occurs in the home, this designates a change in activities in the home. Should the individual come to your place of business, conditions there will change. If the business is currently adverse, you may expect a change for the better. If affairs have been favorable, the change will be effective at once. You may use profitably anything ruling by the moon. And he says here, suppose you have a sick child and a Cancer friend or relative calls and inquires about him. That means the sick child will experience a positive change at once. Very interesting. Moving right along, our next sign, one of my favorite sun signs, is Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Okay. The actual contact with this person is in itself a definite message that the sun, the brilliant, powerful center of our universe, is behind you to make your plans succeed. With power, warmth, and splendor, he is turning his face to you. He is giving you the signal to go ahead, but only in his sun-ruled activities. This period of progress will continue until the advent to you of a Scorpio person, who by his or her presence warns you of the end of this good sun period. Very, very interesting. But a good sun period will come again with the contact of your next Leo. So it's very interesting that the sun period that begins in a Leo, and it's really a time of expansion and go ahead with your plans, is culminated and ended by the advent of a Scorpio coming into your life. You may expect an honor of some sort or a preferment of some kind, which will come to you within 48 hours through the contact of a Leo. It could be an invitation to a wedding, promotion of a higher title, a dinner engagement, lecture, or something else. With the smile of the sun upon you, your efforts will confidently succeed. One of the best ones, you know, the sun is considered the sun, the most powerful sun sign, okay? Now we move on to Virgo. This is August 23rd to September 22nd. What happens when a Virgo comes into your life? Well, this is another planet, Mercury, but it's more concerning your health and your clothing. Perhaps the planet Mercury is telling you through his messenger that you should visit your family doctor. This is a Virgo person. Or you should buy new apparel as soon as you need it quickly. Or change entirely your apparel. Watch your diet or change it, else you will need medical attention. In business or home, you may enjoy a repast without interruption. Safeguard your most priceless possession, your health. That's the message of the Virgo coming into your life. Now we go to Libra. When Libra is your messenger, Venus enters the situation. Here, Venus represents love and harmony. The actual contact of a Libra is a definite message that love will follow or that harmonious relationships will be restored. Librans are peacemakers. I got an email from a Libran friend this morning, as a matter of fact. If a bitter argument is upsetting the equilibrium of the home or office, the conflicting wills will be subdued, and when Libra departs, harmonious relations will have been restored. In the event of no emotional upsets, Libra bears a message of love to follow quickly. Safeguard the wonderful gifts of love and peace that a Libran brings you. I love this. Sagittarius. Wait a minute. Actually, I think I missed one here. Scorpio. Here we go. Your contact with a scorpion is interpreted to state emphatically that this is the end of a good sun period and the end of your present affair or deal. It's a time to cease pushing your affairs for the time being. This rest period for you should continue until Leo contacts you again. It should be understood that everyone is entitled to receive good periods to forge ahead, followed by periods when rest should be taken. Your taxes, estate matters, wills, and insurance need attention also now. Scorpions are fulfilling their celestial mission. They are the policemen who call a halt to activities for the present. Be wise. Welcome, Scorpions. Sagittarius. The actual contact with a Sagittarian person is in itself a definite message from the planet Jupiter that this is a time for financial transactions. You will receive money from someone within 48 hours, but as a general rule, this money will be received within 6 hours. Your bank and your purse need attention. It is time to advertise or to take that long journey if it is on your mind. Dispense your funds wisely. If you're a student, you may safely use Jupiter for financial transactions to purchase your textbooks, etc. So Sagittarius, like Taurus, brings financial good things. Capricorn, which is, I didn't actually say the dates, but you guys can look these up. Libra is September 23rd to October 22nd. Scorpio is October 23rd to November 21st. Sagittarius is November 22nd to December 20th. And now we move on to Capricorn. December 21st to January 18th. The actual contact of this person to you is a definite message from the planet Saturn, the taskmaster, who is reminding you that every one of us must learn discipline and understand our responsibilities. Saturn is saying to you, you need to rest this hour and then attend to your duties and assume your responsibilities. Your land property needs attention. Don't be afraid to welcome the messenger of Saturn. At times, we need his guidance. Aquarius, which is January 19th, February 18th, is a message from the planet Uranus, warning you that unexpected and sudden events will occur within 24 hours. The Aquarian will answer your problem accurately, but you must ask him. Remember, his or her answer can cover the long-range result lasting for years. See, Aquarians are the I know sign, so when they tell you something, they know what they're talking about. You need the spectacular, he says here. I don't know exactly what that means. There is no planet so strange and sudden as Uranus, and Aquarius people likewise. Cooperation with the planets brings ultimate success. So there's going to be a revolutionary change, unexpected and sudden. Pisces, February 19th to March 19th. And this is our last one, actually. The contact of the Piscean person is a message from the planet Neptune, telling you the deception of some kind is about to follow, or someone is at that moment promoting you or gossiping about you. This may happen either with or without your present knowledge, but the Piscean will not be involved. The messenger will unerringly point out to you the best main overall strategy of action for you to follow on a problem already confronting you. He or she will offer this advice to you without your having to ask for it. Heed the astute suggestion of the Pisces person. That's what he suggests here. So this is a book that I treasure. I have like a certain number of books in my bookshelf. I have one bookshelf with, actually it's five shelves, but it's one case. And this book will always be with me because it is, I've considered it to be so valuable. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you took some notes so that when you meet somebody of a certain sign, you'll know what to do. Okay, we have one person waiting on line three. We have two lines open. We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to start taking calls. So I hope you're still with us, and we're going to hear Krishna Hare Krishna and come back and talk to Kay, who's been waiting patiently on line three. have time for you. Let's get you on the air. We have Kay waiting patiently for a long time. Are you there, Kay?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Fremont, that's not far from where I am, I think, actually.
Yeah, I'm in the Bay Area.
Yeah, cool. So, how long have you been into the cards, or have you?
I've been into them for quite a few years now. And I was actually at your house.
Oh, okay.
When was that? When you had the...
When I had the talk?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, you're born July 10th, 1963, right?
Yes.
So, what can I do for you tonight?
Five of diamonds.
Five of diamonds, seven of clubs.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about the overall index rating in the Love Cards book.
Uh-huh.
And I look up a lot of people. I look up a lot of my friends and, like, celebrities and, you know, relationships. And I see a lot of people, you know, you can kind of see. You see a lot of, you know, you can see, like, wow, you know, I see why they got together. They have this, like, really great, you know, attraction. But then you see some where they'll break up. They have this great, you know, overall index rating, but then they'll end up with someone else that it's a lot lower. And I've seen, you know, that type of... So how much does that play? I mean, I guess it depends on the person and where they're at in their life and what they're attracting.
Well, there's, you know, you have to realize that it's not true that everybody goes for the most compatible person, first of all. You know what I mean? I mean, in an ideal world, we would all be attracted to the most compatible person, but that's not really true. Sometimes we're attracted to people that we're not compatible with at all.
That's true.
I can see you sitting there going, what's he talking about?
No, I know, because you have something that you need to work out, or there's an issue, there's some reason that you're attracted to someone that
that
you'll go through certain things with, or...
Exactly. Like, I remember having two relationships in a row that each lasted about a year and a half, and what characterized both of those was that they were both really always critical of me, like Saturn to me, you know? And then I finally woke up one day and realized, you know, maybe I'm critical of myself. That's why I've attracted these two, you know, like that. And when I realized that, it really, I was able to end that cycle because now I knew what I was doing, I think. But one thing about the index ratings, Kay, is that I would never put a lot of, it's certainly not the final word. See, those index ratings were based on how most people in the society today would react to a person with those connections, okay? But it's by no means, applies to everybody. You always should do a complete reading to see what's really going on there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Never just stop there with the index ratings. It's kind of good for a quick look, okay? It's good for that. But it should never be the last thing that you do. It should just be the beginning, like just to get a quick hit on somebody is good. But we should always go and do the complete reading to really see what's going on. There's so much to it, you know.
Yeah.
I wrote an article in one of my newsletters a couple of years ago about the whole process of choosing relationships using the cards. Do you know if you read that or not? Or
no, I don't believe that. I'm not receiving your newsletter.
Oh, okay. Well, all the old newsletters are in volumes called Visions. And they're available on my website. You can actually You can actually search through the table of contents online and see which one has which article. But basically, I wrote down the whole process of using the cards to pick relationships. And, you know, the first thing to do always is, people always think, well, the first thing is, well, how compatible are we? But that's not the first thing. So really, much more important than how compatible you are with somebody is, who are you? You know, like, are you even marriageable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or what kind of relationship do you really want? For example, your card is your five of diamonds, right?
Yeah.
And you're a seven of clubs, ruling card. Correct?
Yes.
And your seven of clubs is pretty marriageable, but your five of diamonds is not. Right?
Yeah.
So if I was doing the compatibility with you and somebody else, the first thing I would say, well, is, you know, well, Kay, I don't know about her, you know. She might be really wanting a relationship, or she really might not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I do. I feel like I have that cancer part of me that wants the home and the family and the, you know, wants
security.
I want to feel secure. But then at the same time, it'll make me feel trapped. Like, if it's too much, I have to, like, run away, but then I want to come home and have that there. You know, I have to have both.
So this is great. So tell our listeners, how do you resolve that conflict?
I have to have a relationship that allows me freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And is not, but also has the security. Has the security.
Yeah, so, I mean, what kind of freedom, I'm just kind of curious, what kind of freedom do you need in a relationship? Like when you say freedom, because, you know, freedom means different
things really.
To different people.
Yeah.
But what kind of freedom are you talking about here?
I guess not really free, just, how would I explain that? Just where I feel that I could, you know, I guess be myself, and if I, you know, I don't know, because I want the security and I want the home and I want all of that, but sometimes,
like,
I guess
give me an example
more
of
traveling.
Something.
It's just more of traveling, more of being able to get out or have, like, maybe some personal time.
So freedom to go away and leave your partner behind and them not freak out on you.
Yeah.
Is that, would that size it up?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
But not freedom to go and travel and meet somebody else.
No. No, oh, not okay. like that.
Okay,
no.
Good. Just checking.
No, just, where, I don't know how to explain.
Well, how long would you be gone for? Like, let's say you had it just the way you wanted. I'm just kind of curious. And you want to go off and travel. How long would you be gone, typically?
Oh, not that long. Because as soon as I'm away, then I want to be back home. It's that same type of...
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Because you're a crab and you miss your home.
Yeah. And when I'm home, I feel like I want to go away.
You just got to go out and then pretend like you left and then come back.
Come back, yeah. It could just be going to the store, I guess.
Yeah.
I have to get out.
So do you see how important it would be when you're considering a relationship that if I was, like, helping you, how important it would be for me to know that about you, see?
Oh,
because that's what you're bringing to the relationship. And so you need somebody else that would be okay with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And who would like that, not just be okay, but maybe even love it, you know. Like, yeah, take off, Kay, I'll be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have, because I am in a relationship right now, and I think, you know, we pretty much, that's what we have. We're able, you know. He's the eight of spades.
Uh-huh. And what ruling card is he?
What birthday is he? Oh, it's March 2nd.
Oh, Pisces. Oh, no wonder he does that, because he's your moon card. He's a nine of hearts ruling card, which is moon to your seven of clubs.
And is that?
He'll stay home and be the little wife, and you can be the husband. In a manner of speaking, you know.
Okay,
because
yeah.
He's moon to you. See, that way, it's like you get to be the leader, and you get to know that it's okay to do what you want to do, basically. That's what it boils down to. See?
Okay.
Because whoever the sun, if there is a sun-moon connection, which there often is, whenever there is one of those, whoever is the sun card, and now you're the sun card in this relationship, that person is the leader of the relationship. And that person has to decide what their relationship is and what their relationship isn't.
Okay.
So it's very interesting that works for you, see? Now, you see, if you were with a man that you were mooned to, like if you met a Queen of Spades, for example, or an Eight of Clubs, or a Six of Diamonds, you would be mooned to them. And your life would have to be about them.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And basically, it would be all about them, and you wouldn't have the kind of freedom that you wouldn't have the kind of freedom you enjoy now.
Okay.
Which may not work for you.
I'm his result card.
Mm-hmm.
The Five of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
What is being someone's result card? What is that?
Well, you're also his Pluto card too.
Oh yeah, and the Seven of Clubs.
Yeah. So you know. You're the challenge, and you're the reward.
Oh.
I'm sure you challenge him at times. See,
yeah.
You're both very powerful. You know, your Seven of Clubs is powerful, and his Eight of Spades is powerful. And the Seven of Clubs is a Pluto card to the Eight of Spades. So, when you see him pushing too much, I'm sure your Seven of Clubs says, "Hey, wait a minute." You know.
Yeah.
Because Eight of Spades can be very pushy. Now, it's not like a Pisces to be pushy, but it doesn't matter what sun sign they are. If you're an Eight of Spades, you're going to be pushy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, cool. I'm really glad you called. This was fun. Thank you for opening up and sharing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate
it's
that.
Always,
it was really
always interesting.
Great. Yeah, and thanks for, you know, holding on there and being patient, too. I appreciate that, too.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, keep us abreast. Call in again and let us know how things are progressing. Is marriage in your future?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
What?
I said, you want me to tell you?
Oh, yeah. Can you tell me?
No, I can't tell you.
You can't?
I don't see it right now, but, you know, it's like you could get married any time, you know. If you feel like it's a good match and you both feel it's good.
Mm-hmm.
The result card also, you know, it can always mean that this is the person that he was waiting for his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean that.
Okay. But you don't see it, like, next year or anything?
It's not showing up in your cards. It doesn't
mean
it won't happen. It could be stronger in his cards, you know.
Yeah.
Especially because he's the moon card. Sometimes the sun card is like, oh, yeah, we got married last week. Big deal.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting married next week. Are you nervous? What do you mean, nervous? What are you talking about? What's there to be nervous about? You know, it can be like that. It just depends. Everybody's a little different, but that's a basic thing. Okay, Kay, I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
I have two other ladies waiting online patiently, so I'm gonna talk. But call again, please call again.
Oh, I will.
It'd be great to hear how things are going.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Kay. Have a nice night.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have I think a new caller, but who knows? Maybe I've talked to her before. Online, I'm not sure what line. I think it's Ingrid, but it may be Ingrid. Is Ingrid here?
Sigrid.
Is it Sigrid?
Yes.
Ah, he wrote it down wrong. I think I remember your. I remember you now. I remember your name.
Yes, I spoke to you briefly once before.
Yeah. How are you, Sigrid?
My heart's pounding.
Oh wow! I didn't know I had that kind of effect on people.
Yeah.
Are you born March 13th, 1954?
That's right.
Okay, good. So what can I do for you tonight?
Oh, well, something's got me a little worried. When you talk about age 52 being the critical year.
Yeah, you already passed that year up.
Yeah, I know. Is it over? Is it too late?
Well, I would never want to tell somebody it's too late, but I would imagine last year was very important for you.
Well, like, nothing really happened.
Really?
Really.
Nothing happened. What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, I hope to get more healing from a pretty serious injury I had in 03.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have the funds to get the healing, and so sort of at a standstill.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe I was just really afraid of this prediction that it was like the soul's last call.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And then when I look ahead and a couple of years ahead of me, sometimes I can't even delve into this book because it just seems really scary.
Well, first of all, Sigrid, I want to say a few things, okay? First of all, you're a Pisces, right? March 13th, right?
Right.
And Pisces people, they're born with a predisposition towards seeing the negative. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I left to my own devices, I really do think.
Yeah.
So is that a bad thing, being dependent on others? I feel like I can only be a channel when I'm around people who can channel.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's important to understand that you tend to go to the negative when you think about things, okay? And also, because you're a Three of Spades ruling card, you will tend to worry a lot about your health.
Okay.
And you've had that your whole life.
Not really. I was kind of an athlete when I was young.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean when you're young, but I mean basically your adult life. Yeah.
Oh. Really,
it was the seeds of it were already there when you were born. It's just that it takes a while for those seeds to come out, you know, for everybody. All of our karmas, all of us, our karma kind of shows up a little bit later, you know. But I look back at myself, and I didn't feel like I had any problems when I was in my 30s, but when I look back, I was doing a lot of stuff that wasn't so good, you know.
You mean socially or...
Yeah, whatever my thing was about relationships, you know, more about relationships.
So if you're not, like, being true... Your karma, my karma, will come back as upon me as ill health.
Your karma is to worry about health.
Worry.
Your karma is to have so much mental attention focused on your health that you exaggerate, you make it worse by thinking about it so much.
Hmm.
Your karma is to actually make up illnesses in your mind. Your karma is to have illnesses that cannot be solved. They cannot be figured out, not, can't be diagnosed. Mysterious. Unsolvable. You follow?
Well, that's kind of neat. I thought up something that no one can figure out.
Exactly. You got the market on that. But, you know, I assume that there's a part of you that would really like to be happier, you know, and not have to be plagued by... There's a downside to that illness thing, you know. You know that Ten of Diamonds also, you're a Ten of Diamonds, and Ten of Diamonds want to be the center of attention. Did you know that?
Yeah, but I don't know if I believe that sick, getting attention from being sick, because I've been pretty isolated.
Well, you know, I don't know. You'll have to answer that question for yourself. But, you know, it's one way to get a lot of attention. If you don't, see, here's the thing about Ten of Diamonds, too, is that they don't feel good. They don't feel okay usually about being the center of attention.
Right.
They don't feel okay about being special. It's hard for them to receive what other people offer them in that way. Do you understand?
Yeah, that comes from my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, you can say, yeah, it comes from childhood or whatever, you know, yes, of course. But that's basically, I could have predicted that you would have that regardless of who your parents would have been.
Are all Ten of Diamonds like that?
Yeah, all Ten of Diamonds. It's not health-oriented, though, for all Ten of Diamonds, but they all want to be the center of attention, but feel bad about really, they have a difficulty receiving from everybody else.
So if my son is a Ten of Diamonds and he wants to be an actor, that's a poor career choice?
No, it's a great career choice. It's a healthy way to express that.
How's that?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's great. It's great to be the center of attention.
He wants to be the center of attention, but it's hard for them to be that. So if he's doing something that's hard for him,
Well, it's not always the same exact way. It's not expressed for every Ten of Diamonds in the same exact way. Okay?
Mm.
His might be a little bit different angle on that whole issue.
Mm. Okay.
But I can tell you that it's okay to want attention. And it's okay to want to have other people give to you. And your biggest lesson in life as a Ten of Diamonds is to allow the universe to give to you. To not think that you have to do it all yourself.
Say that again?
To stop thinking that you have to do it all by yourself. That's the biggest challenge for you. As a Ten of Diamonds.
How can you get help with that?
Well, it's a matter of awareness, Sigrid. All these issues that we have, we solve them all in the same way. We first become aware of them more. So we just get to know it better, you know. We have to watch it for a while. We have to kind of see it playing out in our life. And anything that we can do to support that process is going to accelerate the process. So, like, if I was, like, say, just got in touch with that I had an issue in a certain area, I would say, well, what can I do right now to increase my awareness of that? Well, I could ask other people for feedback, for example. I could say, all the people that I know, you know, be really honest with me. Tell me what you see. Am I doing this? And if I'm doing that, tell me what I'm doing so I can get a handle on what I'm doing. I want to understand this in myself. That's just one example. Or I could take a workshop, maybe a class or a training or a workshop or something that would focus in on that issue for me, help me reveal it. I would read books about that. I would do everything I can to increase my understanding of myself about that issue. I would get counseling if I needed it. Whatever I could use that would work, I would be looking for it, you know.
So it's not
your physical condition. Your physical condition and your life as it is right now is completely your creation. And the only way out of it is to take that ownership. If you feel a victim, which is a very Piscean thing to do, if you feel victimized by your life in any way, then in that area, whatever area that is, you are powerless to change it. See? If I feel like I'm a victim of somebody or something in my life, that means I have no power to change it. And everybody is victim. Everybody has this in some areas of their life. Nobody. I have never met anybody.
Do you think if I'm like trying to confront this issue, that's why I feel an absorbing amount of fear?
Yes, absolutely. That fear is the fear of seeing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it'll be painful to see it, it'll be freeing. It'll release your life force energy, and you'll get your life force back eventually. But see, our mind is afraid. See, being a three of spades, anybody who's a three has a very strong mental thing going on. Very strong. You can't be a three without having your mind be hyperactive.
A mind what?
Without having a mind that is hyperactive.
Hyperactive.
Yeah, in some way. Like a three of hearts is hyperactive about their love life.
Huh.
A three of diamonds is hyperactive about their money, always worrying about their money. Three of clubs are hyperactive about everything. And three of spades is hyperactive about their health and their work. And their love life to a lesser degree. So, but see, the mind does not want to change and it does not want to relinquish control. So this fear of confronting things is the fear of losing control, of the mind losing its control over you.
Yeah.
You're a slave to your mind.
Is that the ego?
It's kind of like the ego. But I like to call it the mind. It's this identification with our thinking, you know.
Identification.
Basically.
Well,
so I would never say to you, oh, you're 53 now, but you've missed the boat. Because you're calling me tonight, and I can tell that you really want to have something more in your life. But there's a part of you that you don't know about, Sigrid. And I'll just say this one time. There's a part of you that really likes it just the way you are right now. It gets a big payoff for being how you are right now. And if you can't see that yet, that's what you should work on. Why would I want to be like this?
Because I think I'm going to prepare for a change, but I just get pushed back with my Piscean negative thoughts.
Yeah. Well, whatever, you know, I find that in my own life, when I stay in victim mode about something, you know, and I have in my life many times, it's always because if I can blame it on somebody else or something else, then I don't have to do anything about it. You know, I can just be lazy. Or I can just, like, not have to do anything. You know what I mean?
When I was, in 03, I had a car accident and I had a brain injury, and I pretty much lost a lot of my memory and all that, you know, being able to think and all that. Was that an opportunity to break out of the ruts I was in, or did I do that to myself to get sicker?
I don't know exactly. You know, I'd have to get to know you a little better to be able to say that. Like, if I did a reading with you here in my office, I would do your astrology too, and I would have a little bit more information about you.
Okay.
That would tell me what's going on inside of you.
Alrighty.
You know, there's a lot of reasons, but I do know this. I just want to say this in closing, Sigrid, is that this is, there's something that you could learn about yourself, about why you would have your life be this way, that could really help you change your life. I am convinced that you could have a different life, no doubt. And it could be wonderful, absolutely wonderful, like everything you ever wanted. So, I appreciate you being so open on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that took a lot of courage.
Well, my heart's not pounding anymore, so I guess you helped.
Oh, good. But thanks for coming on and sharing yourself, okay?
Okay. Thank you very, very much for listening.
Great to have you. And if something new pops up, you're welcome to come back on the show and share with us what's going on.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. Have a nice night.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we have two lines open, but we have Deborah, who's been waiting very patiently. And I know Deborah. I've talked to her many times. So if you can put Deborah on, then we'll take a break, and if whoever else is coming on the show, then we'll do some more. But now it's time to call in if you want to get in on the queue. Okay? So is Deborah there?
Yes. How are you?
Good, Deborah. How's it going?
Good. I'm hearing feedback for some reason. I don't know why. I want to know, I love your show. I love listening to the first part always, and I caught the whole first hour. I realized you were on early. But listening to the last caller, I wondered if mysterious illnesses come with Pisces rising also?
Perhaps.
Or not as much.
Well, it could be, you know.
Because I've had a couple during my life that I won't go into that, you know, seriously hospitalized, all this when I was young. But anyway, one of my questions tonight was, that's kind of what my question was about. I had a weird illness, rare, that happened in October 05, and it was really devastating, and they never found the cause, but at least it wasn't out of the worst causes, it was that, and they felt it wouldn't come back. It came back, right, the day after Thanksgiving, but it doesn't seem as severe. And I know I was looking in my spread, and the Venus, I'm in the Venus with the 2 sevens, and I think one of them had said something about illness. So I just wondered if you could take a peek and see if I'm going to be battling hard this time, or if it's not going to have much effect, or is there anything there that...
Yeah, well, it's funny. I look back at 2005, and you had a 9 of spades long range that year. So I think the illness showed up for you then to
basically... It was a real big opening, you know.
Yeah, I think it catapulted you out of a certain way of being that you had been in for a while.
It did. I'm totally different since then. But now, to my horror,
well,
you know,
Just stop for a second, okay, Deborah?
Okay.
Stop for a second. And just imagine that illness that you had back then Mm-hmm. It came in for a specific purpose.
Okay.
It fulfilled its purpose, and it was about getting you to change something important in your life that you were refusing to look at.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So if it's really back now, which I really don't think it really is.
Okay.
Maybe in a small way.
Right, it looks smaller.
Well, what is it trying to tell you now?
Okay, and I think I already got that message. I mean, the first thing I thought is it was a warning to tell me to go back to my better eating habits.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that could be.
That's the first thing I got.
Okay, good. And anything else?
I'm not sure. I've been thinking about moving and changing careers, but I've been back and forth over that. And I know it's a back and forth year with those threes all around, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, there's several things going on here. It's not about moving, I don't think, this year.
Okay.
I don't see a move thing here. It's more about like really taking care of yourself on one level. Mm-hmm. You get a four space displacement. I think it's about taking really good care of yourself, number one. Like, your home should be a really nurturing, loving place.
And it is, so that's
okay.
Good.
Okay, good. Because it's your displacement card, it's suggesting that there's something else to look at there. You know, really,
okay.
There's something to look at there. Not necessarily, you know, it may or may not be health-oriented, but it probably is. It's probably health-oriented plus other things.
Right.
Going on. But overall, you know, the main thing of the year is all these men.
Is what?
All these men.
Men. No.
No. What's here with you,
go.
Queen of Hearts? You guys need some, like, snap out of it therapy. What's going on? How can all these Queen of Hearts go around and say, sex? No, not sex. What is going on?
I did that. You're very good. He's in Belize where he is, and I'm here, and we're still communicating, but you were right. I haven't changed my mind totally on him, but
You need like a Mr. Right Now.
I probably need that, maybe, but I'm in Ojai, honey.
So what's wrong with Ojai? There's no guys there?
You may want to call them that. That doesn't mean they're not wonderful, but I've been importing mine.
I'm about to send some guys to Ojai, I guess, you know.
Please
get some real
do.
Men together. Hey, look, we got an infestation of Queen of Hearts down there. They need some happiness.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, well, you have a Three of Hearts long range, okay, so I'm sorry, but it's not one guy, okay? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm back to that not looking. I kind of like the one I got, but he isn't here.
Why, because he's so far away?
Oh, wait. I thought about that a lot. I'm like, didn't think that one very long through, and I...
Or you did, you know, it was subconscious, you know, like,
yeah.
Let me see. I want a boyfriend that I never see anymore. That's a good one.
After 10 years, you know, and then I'm like, well, I could go about 20 now, I think. That was so good. I don't know. I hope that's not what I have to look at again.
Well, I can't help it if, like, three of your five year-long cards are hearts. I'm sorry. That's the news.
Okay.
You know.
All right. And
so
I don't
get back
think
to work.
This illness, it doesn't look like it's going to be as severe, and I'm on top of it, and we know
no,
what
but
it
I do see, like, you know, you have two sevens, which means you got to watch your attitude about the whole thing, number one.
Right. And so far I've been real positive and real – I'm not – because it was scary what happened last time.
I'm sure you're worrying like it's going to be the same thing all over again. But
right.
Then you have a Queen of Spades and an Ace of Spades, so I really think there's a need for some kind of a new beginning in your life.
Okay.
Some
that's what I've been
beginning.
Feeling, so I think that's why I always think I got to move and get all new scenery and start all over, but to too old.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't see move. I don't see move strongly indicated here. Actually,
okay.
I see like a,
I
see more of an internal change, not an external.
Okay,
change.
I made one about two or three weeks ago. I mean, I totally reformatted my business, and it's so in line with me. And business has picked up a lot. I changed pricing to pretty much pay as you can, and I made a whole bunch of changes I've been wanting to make, and so I guess there's, and I definitely have to change it again, which, believe me, this week's going to make me do on the food thing, too.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, it sounds like you got a pretty good handle on it all.
All right, I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
And did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, actually, I got married yesterday.
Congratulations! You had a wonderful one then.
Yes, it was beautiful.
That's great. I can't believe you're on the radio today.
I know. Well, we're not going to do a honeymoon until next week. But
oh, good. Okay. So
yeah, next
really
Monday I probably
that.
Won't. That's right. I won't be here for the show next Monday. That's right. I forgot about that. Glad you reminded me.
You have to put an email out for that.
Yeah, I'll put it.
All right. Well, thank you again, and I'll call you back in a while and see how you are, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be gone a week, and
and
you've got some exciting things.
There.
I see a lot. You know, you're also in the pinnacle year. Your ruling card's in a pinnacle year this year, so that's very significant. I would really think about this is your work part, by the way. You know.
Okay. Well, I've been getting a lot more press, or, you know, been on TV. A lot of things, interesting things have been happening.
You really should be pushing that really hard.
Okay.
You know, pushing forward, because it's your time to shine.
Okay.
So you're doing good work. Go out there and tell the world.
Have to look at that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great.
All right, Deborah, thanks for being on the show again.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Okay, that was so much fun. Yes, it was. Okay, we are going to take a short break. We have two people. Oh no, we have one person from Nevada City. Patricia, we'll be back. We'll be back for you in just a minute. We have two lines open. I'd like to hear the song Journey. It's kind of a short song. We'll hear that when we come back. We will talk to Patricia and whoever else decides to call in. We got time for probably one or maybe two more callers after Patricia. So if you want to call in, now's the time. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of our show. And we have Patricia and another lady from Chicago on the line. So we're going to have a nice little ending here. I want to just mention that I'm going to be away next week. I won't be here. But what we'll do is Seth and I were talking on the break, and we're going to replay the show that we had 2 weeks ago when I first told the beginning of the story of the Mahabharata. So if you want to catch up on that story and get caught up, that was the first time, and it'll be a way to hear the first part of the story all over again. So anyway, is Patricia there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Patricia.
Hi.
Are you born February 13th, 1955?
That's correct.
And you are a queen of diamonds, just like me.
Yes, I am. Like you.
Yes, I'm a queen of diamonds also. And I've had a lot of friends of your birthday.
You have?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an easy, fun connection.
Great.
So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I know that this is a critical year. And I'm wondering more what that's about, what you do with it, what's
okay
to look forward to.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I can tell you because I just went through it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're almost done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what has happened so far for you? Anything interesting?
Well, I started a new job working at a juvenile hall. It's been a lot of work, a lot of change. And I'm always wondering if I'm doing the right work. That's always the biggest question in my mind. Am I doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you're a double diamond. You're a queen and five of diamonds. So I'm surprised that you're happy with a job that doesn't, number one, allow you a lot of freedom to travel. And I'm surprised in a way that you're not in a job where you're buying and selling things, you know?
Yeah.
I have a good friend. It's your birthday, and, you know, he's always traveling. And he loves the things that he's promoting and selling, and he's really good at it. He's very spiritual. And he's just having a blast, you know. He teaches classes, and he's just really into it. It's just really wonderful to witness that, you know.
Yeah.
To see a five of diamonds who's in a place kind of stuck, you know. I mean, not that you're totally stuck or anything, but that you're not traveling a lot, that seems unusual.
Yeah.
So what has you staying there?
I'm not positive. I think that it's the spiritual part of working with the children.
Uh-huh.
Like, I spent the whole day today showing them their cards. They were fascinated.
Really?
Yes, they love it. They really love learning about themselves.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. You know, I actually wrote an article a couple of years ago, which you could get on my website. It's in one of the Visions books, all about children's cards and how parents can best help them based on their cards, you know.
Excellent.
So if you go on my website, look on the Visions volumes, and then you can scan through the table of contents for the word children. You'll find it really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's good. It's not. I don't talk about every single card. I talk about the threes and the fives and so forth, you know.
Yes.
Just in general. Because that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I remember my sister, my oldest sister, she had a son named Corey. And Corey was, he was young, but he was a king of clubs, you know. And I was visiting them once a long time ago when he was like only about maybe 6 years old. And I looked at him and I go, Corey, I said, you're a king. And he looked at me really funny, and then he said, oh, yeah, I guess I am a king, you know. But then the rest of that day, I watched him. He started taking care of all the other kids. He was, like, looking over everybody. He was like, he just stepped right up to this place of responsibility like a king would. And he was no longer playing with all the other kids. He was basically looking over all the kids like a king would.
Yes.
It was amazing. And just then, just him hearing that was all that it took for him.
It's amazing. It really is amazing how important it is to the children.
Well, that's a beautiful thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds really nice. So, I mean, that is coming up. That's coming from your queen, you see.
Yeah.
The queen being the motherly part. But, you know, maybe there's something that could happen for you. I mean, maybe you, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but you might want to have it so that you could travel more, you know.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could do what you're doing, but somehow get it going with the travel opportunities of some kind.
Yeah.
See, we are creators, so we can create whatever we want.
Yeah.
And
that's a good idea.
Yeah. The main thing for me, and the main thing for most Queen of Diamonds, and you're a different birthday than me, so the ruling card is different, but the main thing for us, the main challenge that the age 52 brings up is our thing about being abandoned.
Uh-huh.
Our abandonment issues that we have from childhood. You know, learning to feel safe and learning how to love ourselves and not need other people to make us feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a huge one for me. That's what mine was about a lot. The age 52. Other things too, but that was the big personal issue that I was dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a relationship?
Yes, I've been married 30 years.
Oh.
It can happen.
Maybe that's not your issue.
Yeah. There's hope.
Yeah, well, you know, you can never say that one card, everything applies to everybody of that card, because there's always room for variety. There's always room. So.
Yeah, I think my Five of Diamonds gives me more trouble. That restless, changeable, mm-hmm. wanting to travel.
Yeah, and it can kind of result as sort of like an eternal sense of dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, no matter what happens, I'm never really happy. That can be that's what five can do. You know, it can be like that.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know.
Well, I'm looking at my Nine of Diamonds daughter, and this is her ascent to pinnacle year.
Uh-huh. How old is she? Oh,
19.
Now, is she doing anything? Like, is she working or?
She works and goes to college.
Oh, wow. And what does she aspire to be or do?
She can sing. Oh, my gosh. She has an incredible voice. And she wants to be a healer.
Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe she's not completely found herself yet, you know, like what she really wants to do. You know, I didn't figure it out until I was in my 30s, you know.
And that time of the ascent to pinnacle time, do they often figure it out during that time?
Well, you had your ascent to the pinnacle around the same time as she did at that age. Do you remember what you were doing at that age?
Yes, it wasn't such an ascent.
Well, I did. I remember I was playing in rock bands, and I reached a really high place in my musicianship. I was playing in like the hottest group in the state of Florida. In my
school.
Yeah. And you know, I was living the dream that I had. And so I think that if your daughter has any kind of dreams like that, that's what's gonna happen to her too. She's gonna get her dreams.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I would predict. You see, it depends on the person, see. My birthday is a little more ambitious than yours because we have an Ace of Diamonds ruling card. See, an ace is very ambitious. Your daughter may be ambitious too.
Mm-hmm.
Or she may not. What birthday is she?
She's September 2nd.
So she's a Virgo.
Yes.
I think that's the same birthday as Salma Hayek, actually.
And who's that?
You don't know who Salma Hayek is?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, one of the most beautiful actresses that's out there.
Oh.
One of the sexiest, too. She played in that movie Frida. Did you see Frida?
Oh, yes.
That's Salma Hayek.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So your daughter's the same. And, you know, that's also Keanu Reeves' birthday. So, you know, if your daughter wanted to go that route, there's evidence to say that she could be successful there.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Oh, and, you know, but she may be a little young to know. Some kids really do know when they're really young, but that's pretty unusual, actually, you know. It's unusual for a child to know what their destiny is, what really is their best thing, you know. It does happen,
yes.
But it's not very common, just because life takes a while.
Yes, and you know, and the ascent to pinnacle comes so young for some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for some people, they won't even notice it because they'll just be like a baby or something.
Uh-huh.
Some of the cards, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then that pinnacle is a big change year, you know. Whoever's got the pinnacle, big change.
Uh-huh. So the ascent of pinnacle is getting ready for it?
Yeah, well, you start up the hill on that ascent. You start noticing that you're gaining in popularity and success everywhere you turn. And that only applies if you know where you're going. If you know that you want something to manifest, see, then that applies. It's not going to apply to somebody who just, you know, has no dreams or ambition. Okay?
Uh-huh.
It's not going to happen to everybody. It's just going to happen to those people who have a vision for their life that means going up and being bigger.
Yeah.
So if she has dreams that she wants to be somebody, and then she will. But, you know, it's okay if she doesn't, too, because she's going to live her life, whatever that life is.
Yeah.
You know, so it may be one of great fame, or it might not.
Uh-huh.
Everything has a price anyway. It's not always the best thing to be famous.
Yes, I know. It hasn't worked for a lot of people.
But some people know when they're very young, they know they want it. Like, I always knew that I was going to do something that would bring me recognition. I didn't know what it was, but I just always felt that in my bones, you know. I didn't know what it was, but I always knew there was something. And so I was looking. And if she's looking, she'll find it.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling, Patricia.
You're welcome.
Good
thanks
talking
for writing
to you.
The book.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure. Hold on.
They mean a lot to a lot of people for self-discovery.
Well, that was my intent, so thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thanks for your time.
Call again anytime, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have a lady named Yewa from Chicago. Are you there, Yewa?
Yes, I am. How are you, Robert?
I think I got an email from you, didn't I, this week?
Yeah, just yesterday. I have been listening to all of your archives from this summer and trying to catch up on what's going on with your show. Yeah,
cool.
It's so wonderful to have your two books, and I've been just working on them, and I have some questions.
Good, go right ahead. I'm here to help you.
Okay. I am going through some change in my life, and I wonder what you see for the next year after my next birthday. If I could relocate, if I could find a job, that kind of thing.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell our listening audience that your birthday is March 25th, 1954. Is that correct?
1964.
Oh, 64. Well, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes.
Because that makes a huge difference. Oh, yeah, there's a change. I didn't see the change before.
Did you
now
see it?
Now it's very apparent.
All right. Yeah,
so
I want to know.
First thing I will say is that, okay, you're in a Saturn period right now, so don't take what's happening right now. Don't assume that that's how it's going to be. Okay. This is the hard time right now. All right?
Yes.
But this will pass.
Okay.
Okay, and when, you know, when you get to, like, just 2 weeks from now, it's going to feel a lot different.
Oh, good.
Okay. And I see changes coming for you. Are you moving? Are you changing jobs? What are you doing?
I make jewelry, and I'm trying to sell it in event shows and galleries, and this is very scary for me. I have never done this before.
You've never traveled and sold the jewelry like that?
Correct, and I'm trying to make that as a living.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's... And why are you making this change? I mean, why don't you just keep doing what you were doing before?
I've been a stay-home mom.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
You've been a stay-home mom, and that's changing, or...?
Well, I'm going through a divorce.
You're going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And what's happening to the kids?
Well, one is already grown, so he's out of the house. The other one, he has another 2.5 years to finish high school.
I see.
Yeah.
So, but
so
they're
I
basically...
don't even know...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know if I can relocate to California, where you are, because he wouldn't come with me.
Oh, he won't come?
No.
Your son doesn't want to come to California. Is that what you're saying?
So, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And I might have to stay for another 2.5 years, or if I can convince him, I will... take him with me to California, but I don't know how it's going to work out for me. So
well,
right now,
you're the mother. You're the mother, and you are going under. You're in a major change. Okay, Yewa.
Yeah.
This is. You're supposed to be getting out of there. Okay. Everything in your cards. Everything in your cards points to you going.
Good.
I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Okay. I know that you have doubts about is it the right time, the right, but it's all over. I mean, it's like all over your cards. It's so obvious. It's almost amazing, obviously. Obvious, okay?
That sounds
so
good.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
what's going on is not, is to the contrary of it because
you can't predict what everybody else, you can't predict what everybody else is going to do, okay? You have to just look. You just have to stay focused on what you need to do.
Oh, okay.
Right now. You know, everybody else will fall in the right place. When you make your change, it won't be easy because this is scary because you don't know where it's gonna, what's going to happen. You know, it's always going to be a little scary.
Yeah. I already filed 1 year ago.
Okay.
And my husband has been unwilling to submit any financial documentation.
Uh-huh.
So things are not moving because of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there must be some recourse that you have to get him to cooperate. I don't know what it is legally, but, you know, you need to, the important thing is that you need to end up your life as you knew it. This is just about completing the life, completing everything, getting complete.
Okay.
That's all that you're about right now. And then change. And I think you're moving before your next birthday. I really do.
That's great.
It looks that like that to me.
Do you think moving out of this house or just or altogether out of this state?
It looks big. I think perhaps out of the state, you know. I mean, I'm not sure, but it could easily be completely out of the state. It's hard to say. It's hard to say with, you know, complete certainty. But that you have so many nines and so many fives this year that if you're still there, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, so a few more months, then things will look very different then.
Yeah, well, you get out of Saturn, you're going to be feeling better and clearer about everything out of the Saturn period, which should be over very soon. So
yeah,
that'll be a relief.
I see so many nines and fives. Nines together with five.
All you have is nines and fives this year. It's unbelievable how many you have.
It's
a lot.
Yeah, it is very difficult emotionally to overcome them. And without, it helps with your book.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
I think you're going to do really well once you get through this period. This is very hard.
Okay.
But, you know, you're a person that has a good life. And a good life will come back to you once you get through this transition.
Okay. When would you think I can find a job?
Well, it'll come when you're ready.
Ready now.
You're ready now? Why?
Yeah.
Why? You haven't even moved yet.
I know, but just to know that I could make it and survive.
You're a jewelry maker, right? Aren't you
huh?
a jewelry maker? Aren't you a jewelry maker?
Yeah, I am, but I have not been really selling it, except for small venues.
Well, it's not really your—it's not really your forte to sell it as much. I mean, you can sell it, but that's not really what you like the most, I don't think.
Yeah, that's right. I don't really like to sell it at all.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
to make it. So
exactly.
what do I do?
So really, it's about connecting with other people that like to sell it. See.
Oh. Okay.
You know, do the part that you like, and let
okay.
other people do the part that they like.
So find the stores to sell them?
Yeah, I used to have a jewelry business, and I liked designing it. I didn't like to make it. I could sell
uh-huh.
it, too. I would design
uh-huh.
it, and I had somebody
uh-huh.
make it, and I would sell it. And we
How
were getting
did it
really
go?
Good. It went good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really good.
Wow.
It was very
yeah.
easy. I went to a gift show with samples of all my jewelry, and I had, yeah. you know, $10,000 worth of orders when I came out of that show. And we opened accounts and got distributors. We got salespeople to go out and sell it. And it was easy.
Oh, okay. I should find those shows then.
Yeah, the gift shows. The gift shows.
Gift show. Yeah.
You bring your jewelry there. You'll take so many orders. You'll be so busy. You can't even keep it. You can't even not do all of it.
Okay. Can I email you to get
Yeah, email me and I'll send you some information.
Okay.
Be happy
You're
to.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Well,
hey,
good luck
way,
with everything.
Oh, thank you so much. And I will let you know how things work out.
I would love to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. A couple more things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Mac, and I am able to listen to your archive shows from my Mac.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I got word from the other listener that they could not listen from the Mac, so that's why I'm
Oh,
listening.
I see. Yeah, they might have actually improved because they've been going through a lot of changes and they've probably improved the whole thing so that Macs are better. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, yeah, no problem. Yeah, this is a 5-year-old Mac and I just use Firefox, a newer browser.
Oh, okay.
That's what it makes it work. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
excellent.
So
that's
you're
great
good.
To know. Thanks for sharing that so all of our Mac listeners will know that they can use Firefox and they can listen to
On your new wedding.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks
very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you know how things go.
All right, Yewa. You good luck to you and keep in touch.
Thank you, Robert. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. Okay. That was a wonderful sharing. Thank you for being on the show, Yewa. We're going to end now with our favorite song, Gayatri, the meditative mantra, the most powerful mantra probably one of the most powerful mantras in the world that's ever seen. And I won't be here next week, but I'll send out an announcement to everybody, an email blast explaining what's going on and when I'll be back and what's happening next week. So everybody have a nice week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And I look forward to talking to you when I get back. Take care. Sura Varinyam Bhargo Devasyam
Tatsavitur Varini.